If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Three Down Nation podcast. This is a very special edition. I'm JC Abbott, joined today by Darnell Sankey, middle linebacker for the BC Lions. It's been about 2 months since you signed the contract. How does it feel to be a Lion, Darnell?
It feels amazing. You know, it feels amazing. I just credit the organization for just giving me another opportunity. You know, it just feels good and it feels great. I feel like I'm at home.
You were so dominant over the last few seasons in Montreal, a couple of East Division All-Star selections, two trips to the Grey Cup, really the heartbeat of that Alouettes defense. Did you see the writing on the wall that your release was coming? Did you know that your time with the organization was reaching its end?
I mean, it's a hard question, you know. I have nothing but love for the organization. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, like bash them or nothing. Like I had a great time there. You know, they gave me another opportunity to continue playing this game. In terms of, did I see the writing on the wall? There were some things that transpired throughout last season, that I kind of felt like, you know, maybe there was something going on in the works. But, you know, business is business. And when you lead a team to two Grey Cups, I don't think that really anybody would expect that kind of to happen. You know, three Eastern Finals and two Grey Cups. I mean, I guess the only thing better than that is winning all three Grey Cups, right? So, you know, I had a great time with the organization, though. Like I said, there were some things that were transpiring in the year that just kind of made me kind of scratch my head a little bit. But, you know, they had kind of after season, just, you know, during just some negotiations, it just kind of felt like something was maybe a little bit off. You know, and they kind of had told me their plans. And I just said, hey, let's go ahead and kind of keep it moving if that's what you're going to do. And, you know, I respect you guys and they respect me. And I said, if that's kind of the route you guys want to go, then let me go so I can go somewhere else. And they did that. So, you know, it's business. So
When you say that there was a few things throughout the year that maybe gave you an inkling or made you scratch your head, what you mean by that? Was that sort of playing time, maybe guys like Jeffrey Konteng, Arku getting on the field a little bit more? Was it more specific in discussions with coaches or management?
It's never really about how do I explain that? I guess it's just kind of a feeling. You know, I mean, I'm a pro athlete. This is my 10th year pro. You know, I feel like I kind of know the game, you know, so it's kind of hard to fool somebody who's been in the in this business for so long. You know, I mean, I kind of, you know, and I'm at the point now in my career where I can kind of just ask them straight up, ask management and ask, you know, coaches what's going on and what were we thinking. But, you know, during the season, it's all about winning. So it's all about winning football games. And I felt like we did that as good as we could until the Grey Cup. And unfortunately we lost, but I mean, I don't know what else you really want, you know? I mean, but like, you know, that's old news now. Hey, like I said, I have nothing negative to say about the organization. I'm just happy to be a Lion, and I'm super thankful, and I feel at home, man. I feel respected, and then that's the only thing I really care about.
What was that feeling like when you did get the final news that, hey, we're going to be moving on? It's official.
I mean, it's a little bittersweet. It's a little bittersweet. I wouldn't even say sweet. You know, it's kind of bitter, you know, I guess, you know. I don't even know if that's really the right word. It's just, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I've been released before in my career multiple times, never in the CFL, but I've been released in the NFL a whole lot of times. I felt like this was kind of different. You know, I felt like they kind of had a plan. They had a plan that they were wanting to do. You know, I had heard, you know, just little birdies throughout my time there. They were thinking about kind of the route they wanted to go. You know, I won't get into that and personal stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to air out laundry. That's not the type of man I am. But, you know, like I said, I think it was something that was kind of in the works. So I was never really like truly surprised. I guess I just kind of felt like, you know, like I said, you lead a defense to two Grey Cups. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't really know what else. I guess, like I said, I guess we could have went to three. You know, I guess that's the only alternative. And I guess we could have won the one that we were in. But, you know, I mean, three, you know, I mean, three Eastern Finals, man. it's a hard run, you know what I mean? So it's a business at the end of the day. I understand that. And nothing's personal. And this, nothing's personal. And it's out with the old, in with the new. So that's it, you know? I mean, I am with the new. That's all I can say.
Your resume, of course, did matter once you hit the open market, because I'm sure there were a number of teams calling you, including the Lions. What was that free agency process like, and how many teams were interested?
Oh, I mean, a good amount. You know, I don't like to sit here and talk too much about me, man. It's, you know, I had enough interest to make me comfortable. It was kind of the same talk from what I heard, a bunch of the same questions, kind of like what were they thinking, and I didn't have an answer. You know, because on my end it's like I don't really know. You know, I don't know. I feel like I've been playing great. I've only been getting better every single year. Production speaks, and the defense that I'm leading speaks. You know, I feel like it was definitely a shock from when I was talking to other GMs and other coaches. And I didn't really have an answer. So I kind of just try to focus on the now. Hey, like I'm available right now, and that's all that matters, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, talk mess about the Alouette organization. Like, that's not me. You know, I love the fan base. I love Coach Moss. You know, Coach Quit. They gave me an opportunity, and we had a great time. We won a Grey Cup. So, you know, like I said, it's just like when I was in free agency for that brief, what was like 5 days, it was really just focusing on the next step, you know, who I felt like was the best fit for me, which defense I felt like I can come in and do my thing, and which team respected me. Respect is a big thing for me, you know, so I really wanted to be valued and respected. And I felt like the BC Lion organization definitely was the leader in that, in my opinion. Not to say that organizations didn't respect me. I just feel like my conversations with Riggs and the coaches for the Lions, it definitely like kind of won me over.
What exactly was involved in those conversations that made you feel more respected by BC than maybe some of the other Sugars?
I guess it was the fact that, I mean, as soon as I hit free agency, I mean, Rig Maiden was the very first person to call me. Right, like, I mean, within like the minute that I think it came out, like officially agreed to kind of walk away from Montreal, or we agreed to part ways, I guess you could say that. He was the first person hit me up, but he just said, hey, you know, I love what I see on tape. You know, we've been wanting you here for a while now. Hey, you made a decision. You went to Montreal. Hey, you had a great run there. We don't know what they were thinking in releasing you, but we want you right now. Mm. And that was really it, you know? And it was like I said, I had some great conversations with some other organizations, some amazing talks. And I made sure to thank them after I made my decision. You know, I made sure to thank them and tell them that I appreciate it. And, you know, because it's a business at the end of the day, nothing's personal. And I just got to do what's best for me and my family and my future. And I talked to just all the coaches, and they just made me feel loved and appreciated and valued. They made me feel really valued, you know, just like, hey, like, we seen what you did for Montreal. You know, like I said, you guys went to do two Grey Cups. You were the leader of that defense. You know, them boys rallied around you, and that's what we need here. And, I mean, anytime a team tells you that, it's like, well, shoot. You know what I mean?
Does it help in that situation knowing that the Lions had, you know, sought your services in the past? They lost out to Montreal the last time around, and they had sort of that long connection of indicating interest?
Yeah. It's definitely like, how do I explain it? You know, it's kind of like, I mean, we're athletes, we're pro athletes, right? And they're an organization. They want to do what's best for their team. Just because I felt like at the time Montreal was the best fit for me is not personal to, you know, the BC organization. Nothing's personal. I just chose what I felt like was best for me at the time. And then, like I said, we go on, we win a Grey Cup, we go to the Eastern Final, and we go to another Grey Cup. I mean, you know, and then, you know, they decided they want to go a different way for whatever reason they feel like. And then BC was the first team to hit me up. Like, hey, like, you see, we wanted you then and we want you now. And it's really hard to, like, not respect that, you know. It shows a lot of character, especially to Riggs.
In terms of some of the other Sugars, I'm guessing you're not going to give an indication of which teams were actually calling you out.
Hey, man, you know I can't do that. You know I can't do that, man. You know, let's just say there was enough to make me comfortable.
Any surprises?
Couple surprises.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Couple surprises. But like I said, I mean, I hold myself to a high standard. I feel like, you know, what I've done shows. So I guess it wasn't really a surprise. You know, I feel like I'm the best linebacker out there. I mean, that's how I view myself. You know, I mean, I feel like I'm the best. So I feel like it wasn't really a surprise. No, you know.
There's been a lot of discussion recently about linebackers. In pro football in general, and sort of the changing view of that position for As long as I can remember, they've been the quarterback of the defense, the most important piece. Now it seems like more and more teams are valuing linebackers a little bit less. Ed Hervey in Edmonton comes out earlier this year and says just outright, linebackers are replaceable in his mind. I think you can draw some parallels there to the situation you just experienced in Montreal. As a premier linebacker in this league, what's your defense of the position? Why is it important to have a dominant middle linebacker?
I mean, I don't know. In terms of his comments, I know that sparked a lot of outrage when he said that throughout the league. I try to stay out of that stuff, man. I try to stay out of what people think and what he got to say. Hey, he's a GM and he has his opinion. I don't agree. And that's it. You know, we don't have to like really have a debate about it. And in terms of what I kind of just went through in Montreal, like I said, I feel like in regards to that, I feel like they kind of had something they wanted to do for a while now. I think I just made it really hard for them to do it. Mm. You know, so it's like I feel like they kind of already had something in the works. And, you know, so that's that. And then in regards to the linebacker position, I mean, you can look at any team that's won a Grey Cup and look at their linebacker core and you tell me. Look at any team that's been to a Grey Cup and won a Grey Cup and tell me how their linebackers play. And I can guarantee that the linebackers aren't at like the Achilles heel. You know, like you're out there, we're out there and, you know, everybody knows in the league that the middle linebacker is the quarterback. You know, that's not like that doesn't go without saying, you know, that's not like a surprise. I think in any league, the NFL, the UFL, the CFL, any league, you look at great defenses and you look at their middle linebacker and then you can tell me about what you think if he's replaceable.
I think what the Lions are hoping is that you can bring a little bit of that swagger and aggressiveness from the Alouettes defense over to the Lions defense that maybe they were missing in the last couple of seasons. How you become that tone setter, how you change the mentality of a unit?
That's a really good question. I guess that's why you do your job. In terms of changing a tone, I think just the kind of player I am, I think I put in so much work, not only in the off season, but in season. Like I truly hold myself to a high standard and I really believe that I'm the best out there. And I feel like when you kind of walk like that and you talk like that and it shows up, it's one thing to just say it, you know, but you got to show up on tape. You got to show up. You got to win. You have to have something to your name. Like you can't just be walking around and just saying, hey, like, this is what I believe. This is what we're going to do. And you're losing, you know? So it's like, you can talk all you want, but I think the thing in Montreal, I think kind of when I got there, you know, and I just brought my mentality like, hey, I don't plan on losing any games here. And then we go and do that. We don't lose. You know, and we go to the Grey Cup, but then we come the next year and dominate all year, lose in the finals. Hey, it's business. We lost fair and square. We come the next year and we go to another Grey Cup. I think it's hard to not respect that, you know, and it's not me being arrogant. I'm not being cocky. No, I'm just confident in what I bring to the table. I'm confident that there's no one out there that's like me. You know, and we can go watch the tape and everything's out there for the world to see. I mean, the accolades are there, the resume's there, and the defenses I've been on, we've been at the top every year. You know, and it's not a testament just to me. That's what the defense too. That's the coaching staff, but that's guys rallying around and believing because like I mess up all the time too. I'm not this perfect specimen. You know, like, but I feel like I'm the first one to call myself out, you know, and it's like, I got to be ready for other guys to call me out too. If I really want to say, hey, I'm the leader of this defense, then I got to be ready for guys to be like, hey, Sankey, like you said this and you didn't do it. It's like, hey, you're right. You're right. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just a respect thing. Like, I feel like I give everybody respect and they kind of respect me I'm not here to challenge anybody. I'm just here to do what I do and bring what I bring to the table. And I guess that's that swagger that you see. And yeah, I don't plan on being anything but the best defense. I don't plan on us being anything short of number one.
Should those of us in the BC media expect some more bold declarations down the line like you made in Montreal, or is that stage behind you?
In terms of bold declarations, I know we're going to be the best defense. I don't know if you want to consider that bold, but you know, I know we're going to be the best defense in the CFL. I know that's the thing that we're going to do. We have the guys, we're bringing in the guys. We got the unit, we got the coaching staff. We got the best quarterback in the CFL. You know, we're here to do our thing. And we're here to bring wins to this organization, and the goal is to win a Grey Cup. So anything shorter than that is a failure, really, because none of us come to work every single day to lose. You know, I don't come to work every day to not be the best in what I do and lead the best group of guys. So that's my goal.
Looking back on your professional career, you're well-traveled. This is not the first time that you've had to enter into a new organization. You know, 8 NFL teams to start your career. This is your 4th CFL team. There's a stint in the XFL in there as well. How you view yourself now as you enter a new organization? Are you still someone who's looking to put down roots? Or are you a mercenary, somebody who's coming in to fix an organization and then you'll move on to the next thing when it comes?
Nah, I wouldn't say I'm a mercenary. I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm trying to just bring what I do and who I am to the organization. And I think that's kind of why they sought me out. I think that's why they wanted me. That Riggs told me straight up, he wanted me to come in and lead this defense. And I feel like you wouldn't tell somebody that right away if you didn't believe in them and what they do. And I think in terms of being well-traveled, yeah, I've had a hell of a career. I've been cut, I think, 13 times in the NFL, 8 teams. I mean, I've done it so many different times and ways. And that's what I'm saying. When Montreal kind of made their decision, it wasn't really nothing that I haven't been through, although it was surprising in regards to what I said, you know, in regards to, like, you know, people were kind of like, oh, well, it's kind of random. It's kind of, you know, but it's like, it doesn't really shake me, you know, because like I said, I already been through this 13 times in the NFL. So it doesn't shake me. Like, I know what I am. I know what I bring. And I'm prepared to do that with the BC Lions, you know. And but no, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm coming in there trying to, like, fix something damaged. You know, that's not really like the mindset that I have. I'm just coming in there to lead the best defense in the CFL. That's all I want to do. That's all I care about doing. So, I just want to establish us as, you know, relentless, tough, high IQ, and, you know, anything short of winning is unacceptable in my eyes, you know. So I guess that's what I'm bringing. And I know them boys there are going to rally around that.
Will there be any more juice when you play the Alouettes for the first time? Or are you past that point in your career where you're motivated by X teams?
Man, I don't care about that. I'm motivated by wins and championships. You know, I don't care, man. It's like I said, I mean, I won a Grey Cup with the city. I had a great time there. You know, how it ended is how it ended. It's a business. I don't let that get under my skin anymore. I think when I was younger, you know, obviously you kind of have a little bit of something to say, but I mean, I don't care. Like, I'm on to the next right now. Like, my focus is on the BC Lions, and this team. So I don't even think about that anymore. It's just, like, when I play them, maybe I'll say something different, you know. But as of right now, I mean, I don't even think about that. I just, they're not even until, I think, mid-year anyway. You know, we got a lot of football to play. You know, we still got almost 3 weeks into three, well, we got over 3 months until the first preseason game. Like, this, that's not on my mind. You know, my mind right now is getting myself ready to do what I ought to do at the level I got to do it at. That means physically, emotionally, spiritually, and everything. I got to make sure I'm ready to do what I got to do to go handle business with this team.
When you look back on your career so far and all those teams, all those stops, all the accolades, do you have any regrets, things you would do differently now at this stage of your life that you maybe erred on at that time?
Are you asking some advice I have? Or?
Well, a regret, something you would do differently. If you want to portray that as advice to a younger self, I'm sure you could.
I guess in regards to regret, I'm a Christian man. I'm God-fearing. I feel like everything happens for a reason. And I feel like kind of the way that my road has been, a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle that, you know, and the Bible says God will never put you through something that you can't handle. So I feel like although my road was a crazy journey and it's still going for however many years left, it's like I was able to push through that and persevere. So I feel like I definitely am proud of myself in that way. I've had an amazing support system back home, amazing close group of friends who have always kept me motivated. I guess this one I think about like regret. The only really thing that I think about is like, you know, I guess trying to do it someone else's way, you know, trying to do it someone else's way, especially in the NFL, I think. I think, you know, often when you look up to guys and, you know, you try to emulate them in a way rather than just kind of trying to be you, you know, and it's like once I kind of got back to the way I play and who I am and what I bring and who's Darnell Sankey, the type of player that Darnell is, I feel like my career skyrocketed, you know, because it's like I play a certain way. And I am a certain way and I act a certain way. And it's like I tried to get away from that and it didn't really do what I felt like it needed. You know, that's like you as a reporter, you're trying to report like somebody else. Like, you know, it doesn't really like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's why for me, I think once I kind of learned that, I just kind of got back to who I am and what I know and what I'm about and not being scared to say how I feel and not feeling like I got to be quiet or like I got to like shy up. Like, nah, I say what I want to say and I back it up. And that's it, you know.
I'd be remiss if I didn't end with one non-CFL related question because we've got a Sacramento State legend here joining the MAC now. What do you think of that move?
Whew. Yeah, man. I mean, I think it was a long time coming. A long time coming for Sac State, you know, and I got nothing but love for Sacramento State. You know, they're the only team that actually offered me a scholarship. So, I mean, I have nothing but love for the organization. I'm super happy that they decided to do that. And I feel like it was a long time coming. I know everybody else is going to look at the money and, you know, it's like they think that the school's losing, you know, in like the long term, you know, and due to like the money and the travel. But it's like, man, that team, that school has been, you know, that's been meaning to happen for so long and they deserve it. And now it's just about, they just got to go prove why they belong. You know, you got to go prove why you belong there now, you know? So I'm going to be rooting for them boys.
Thanks for doing this, Darnell. This was a wonderful conversation and we'll chat more as we get closer to the season and into training camp. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.